This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Alliance Bank presents you The Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I am Ibrahim Sani. Mercedes-Benz is a premier German car manufacturer based in Stuttgart, Germany. Founded in 1926, we can trace back their origins from the Benz Motor Company and the Daimler Motor Company all the way back through to the 19th century. Today, in 2015, they remain to be one of the world's most popular luxury car makers. Joining me on the Breakfast Grill this morning is Roland Folger, the president and CEO of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia. Guten Tag, Roland.
Thank you very much, Ibrahim. It's great to be on your show.
Right. How has the sales of Mercedes been for 2015? We all know it's been a tough year. Is it okay for you guys?
It's been fantastic, to say the least. We've started out quite strongly this year already, back on a very strong product offering, and of all the investments that we've done in the past into our dealer network here, for instance. And then basically also funneled by the NAP and its new regulations that affect especially the EV sector, we've been going from best ever to best ever month, and we are reaching new heights. And at the moment, by the month of August, year to date, so to speak, we have now reached even 50% more than last year in total.
Right. Speaking about your best month, I think July 2015 recorded the highest sales in your history in this country. Any reason for that?
Well, what we basically experience at the moment is a very, very close relationship with the government, with its different ministries. And back on the NAP 2014, that was launched in January 2014, and the discussions that we have, customized incentive schemes and the incentives that we basically garner on the back of our hybrids, the local hybrids that we produce here in Malaysia, this has been resulting in a very, very high demand for our vehicles, whether that is S-Class, E-Class, C-Class, anything that we produce locally has basically attributed extremely well to our overall sales figures. And I, in that context, also should not forget, naturally, that we launched in 2015 the CLA, GLA as part of our new endeavor to get to even younger customer groups out there.
Now, a lot of companies have a lot of problems with adapting with the GST and how it impacts the business. Has the GST impacted your business and how do you navigate around it?
It has impacted our business, but actually in a positive way, because based on the overall calculation, we already estimated at the beginning of the year that the GST would rather be a contribution, a positive contribution to our overall business setup here in Malaysia, because it helped us to decrease our prices at an average of 2.something%. And we basically passed all of that on to the market. So our position in the marketplace is, so to speak, better than ever. Yes.
Mm-hmm. With regards to your distribution levels, you have two distributors right now, Cycle & Carriage and also Hapseng. How do you differentiate the business between the two of them? Are they approaching the same type of customers? And what kind of benefits do you give to each of them?
Well, it's, I mean, if you let me, I'll correct you quickly, okay. Ibrahim, there, because it's not only the two large distributors that we have or the two large partners that we have. We have a total of 25 outlets here in Malaysia. We have been growing ever since 2011, especially where we initiated an extension of our dealer network to get ever closer to our customers. With that investment into larger dealer network, plus the rejuvenation of the overall dealer network that we're at the moment doing and all the investments that go into that, we're very happy because we can reach out to more customers even. And back to your question of how do we distinguish between the various dealers, it is actually very simple. We have continuous, nearly daily discussions with them about the specific demands in the region, in the area where they operate at the moment. And then what we usually do is we attribute then also allocations to them directly based on the order intake, for instance, and other KPIs.
And we've seen that you've dropped the prices for some of the models this year. Do you think this is sustainable in the long run?
we would not just drop prices on short notice. Very, very clearly, and also alluding to the overall discussions on the value of the ringgit versus other currencies, I think we'll get later into that issue as well. But no, we don't drop prices on short notice. What we try to do is basically pass on benefits, especially as we get them from the government, by dropping excise duties and other issues. We pass all of that in each and every way on to the customers, because we want to become more competitive in the marketplace. This is for us crucial, but it's also something that we own to our investments in the country, and we will continue along those directions.
For the longest time, we've always had this problem with grey importers, and they basically compete directly with you. Maybe not in sheer size and numbers, but they do take a slice of the pie. Do you think they have been impacting your business in recent years?
Well, first of all, and thank you for that question. Also, these customers are Mercedes customers. So they are already, they have a high brand interest. But actually, where it becomes more difficult is that we, as a strong investor in this marketplace, and also all of our CKD activities and the training for our people that we do and that we initiate into the hardware and software in our dealer network, when we look at these investments, naturally, it doesn't help if somebody brings in then vehicles along the sides and basically creates a parallel market. The issue, however, and we will be addressing this in very short notice, the issue is, however, multifaceted. On the one hand, yes, consumer want maybe vehicles that have not been offered before. But where it is just a question of getting vehicles earlier or thinking that they can be bought cheaper, that should not be the case. But actually, that's where the exchange rate now will come in very positively, because all of these gray market cars get significantly more expensive.
Right. Let's take a look into the exchange rate outright. Because when you collaborate all these revenue from this outpost, I would call it, Malaysia being the outfit of a larger global network, how has that impacted the Mercedes brand and business globally?
Actually, in a very, very positive way. We have now, in the meantime, done in other countries what we have been doing in the Southeast Asian region for more than 20, 30 years, meaning we went CKD also in countries like Brazil, like Argentina. We went to Russia in the meantime. We're building up in India, or we have been building up for the last 10 years, a very, very strong local supplier base, because we truly believe that with doing that and putting investments into local markets, we gain a much, much better foothold, much higher credibility, and we can contribute something to the local society.
Right. Let's take a look into the production plan that you have in Pekan, Pahang, where you employ over 200 people there. Has this greatly affected your cost structure with regards to the current climate?
I would say it has affected that in a positive sense. It is, if you look especially at exchange rates, it's a very, very good offering that we have over there. And again, correction, it's not only 200 people. We employ directly working for us 70 people, but basically our local partner, DRB Highcom, under HAMM, as our local direct partner working for us, they employ more than 1,000 people there in the meantime. And it's a very good working relationship from our perspective. And it basically helps us, because we now can produce locally at a lower ringgit in comparison to the euro vehicles at a very, very competitive pricing rate.
Well, with the thing with cross-border partnerships is the transfer of knowledge and technology. What kind of technology and transfer of talent skills are being done between your partnership with DRB Highcom?
Well, the most prominent at the moment that we can talk about is the introduction of our hybrids. First, S-Class, the S400 hybrid, which is a gasoline paired with a full hybrid propulsion system. And then we have just recently, in the beginning of this year, introduced also our very first diesel engine, the E300 diesel hybrid, that has been selling extremely well, both vehicles, because of their attractive pricing, because we could get the pricing down through excise duty exemption.
Let's take a look into the hybrid cars. Roland, how has the industry been growing in this segment, and do you think Mercedes-Benz can capitalize in this area?
If you look, and if you take this back a little while, then in Malaysia, we started first in importing hybrid cars as CBUs. And it was deemed to be cool. There were some elements of saving fuel and other issues as well. But actually, and that was our pitch to the government as well, that is no transfer of technology. There is a little bit on the service side, but actually it doesn't translate into anything that would make the country grow any further steps. So happily for us and from our perspective, in 2014 in the NAP, it was announced that basically all these benefits on the taxation side would go only to those who basically produce these hybrid vehicles or EEVs locally. And that, I think, has made a significant change for us. Also, looking at the overall business perspective, what we see now is that the CBU hybrids are basically non-existent. And we see that with other vehicles in the marketplace as well, nearly on a one-to-one basis, these CBUs have been basically replaced by CKD, locally produced hybrids. And I think this has really enabled us, as other companies as well, to transfer that technology to our partners here in Malaysia, not only to those where we manufacture, but also to those that basically service the vehicle.
Right. Mercedes-Benz Malaysia recently announced that diesel-powered vehicles will be fully compatible with the new blend, 10% palm oil biodiesel and 90% petroleum diesel, so-called the B10 cars. How does this fit in the renewables energy segment?
I think it was an important step to clarify that issue. And whereas in the past there was also maybe some miscommunication along the lines, when we first came out, we said we need to check whether that works together. Because when we specified the diesel for the Malaysian market and we talked to our R&D colleagues in Germany trying to find out whether that would work or not, we changed some adaptations, and these adaptations were changed for this specific vehicle. And that in that case, the E300 hybrid, mm-hmm. diesel hybrid, it was changed to also include B10. But, and this is a word of caution, that is also something that we need to take into consideration, that does not apply to all of our diesel versions. Yeah. So we will also in the future need to always check and verify again whether they can work together, the local regulations together with our specifications that we have. So we are also discussing with the government in very, very close discussions. Should there be any plans to go beyond that stage? It's always up to the government to decide what they want to do, but that would greatly reduce our possibilities to bring new technology into this country.
Right. Japanese car makers like Toyota and Honda are very aggressive at looking at renewables energy. A lot can be said about German cars, particularly BMW, Audi, including yourself. Mercedes-Benz. Do you think this is an area that you should really, you know, harvest your energy and efforts in R&D and trying to build this up?
We do exactly that already at the moment, and we've done that for several years. We had not even 2 years ago, we had three hydrogen-powered vehicles drive one time around the world. Unfortunately, you still have to accompany them with a big tanker van because hydrogen is actually not available anywhere else any gas stations. But the technology is there. Yeah. What now needs to come, and we see that also with these electrically powered vehicles, you need to now find somebody, whether that's the government, whether that's companies, somebody needs to be able to make the decision to produce and to deliver that kind of power then also to the grid or to the network. So it's not just good enough to say, oh, yes, we want to be at 20,000 electric powered vehicles in another 5 years. You need to build up the grid that supports that.
Right now, could you mention a few countries in particular that have actually have that political will to get it done and distribute this electricity at the gas pumps and so on?
There's two countries that come to mind that really stand out. One of them is Denmark, for instance. The other one is Israel. Both countries have made great investments, also being pushed by specific personalities. And these countries, because of their access to, for instance, wind energy in Denmark, very, very flat driving surfaces, so there's not too many mountains there, a rather moderate climate, so you don't have too much issues with air conditioning and other things, means that Denmark has decided to become much, much more independent from oil and gas supply and to basically really boost their orientation towards electric-powered vehicles.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because some of those environmental factors, you can't get it this part of the world because we have very, very rowdy temperature, I would call it. I am talking to Roland Folger, the president and CEO of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia. Roland, let's take a look into the relationship that you have with the Malaysian government. Right, recently, Mercedes-Benz Malaysia has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Youth and Sports to further develop the skills of the nation's youth. In what respect is that being mentioned? I mean, how do you specifically want to treat the youth and develop and train them?
We have made it very clear, Ibrahim, that we want to basically contribute something to the country as well. As a corporate citizen, we want to basically give something back. And if we can combine that in a way that basically further helps the industry in total, then that is really a win-win situation for everybody. And when the Minister of Youth and Sports was at our 30 years basically celebration for our apprentice training center. For 30 years now, we've been training young people to come and work for our Mercedes-Benz workshops. More than 750 people went through that program. He was very impressed by the curriculum, by the standards that we have been setting, and this automatically triggered on his side the interest in the cooperation. So basically what we see now with this memorandum of understanding is that we are now following up properly on these first indications, and we basically contribute also by taking some of these students that we have selected together with the ministry and basically bring them back also into our FUSO workshops, because we are expanding on FUSO side as well. And there is always a need for well-trained young people in this country. And with that cooperation, we believe not only can we find a contribution for the country and do our thing as a local citizen and as a local company, but we can also basically source good, high-quality people for our network.
Let's shift our gears and talk about consumer effectiveness and consumer experience. Right now, Mercedes-Benz have recently issued recalls for the CLA class. Can you comment on that?
It's a normal procedure in the automotive industry, because things can go wrong and they do go wrong. What you need to have then is a clear understanding of what you do about these issues. And I think in the meantime, it doesn't change between the auto industry in total, but because if you operate on a worldwide international standards, you have to have this standard operating procedures in place. And then usually what goes out is information to all the customers that are affected by that. We have customer databases that basically enable us to do this, and allow me one short sidestep. Gray market again, don't know these customers. They usually don't come to us and register in Malaysia with their vehicles. So these are out of scope. And we have also made it clear to the ministries that we can't reach those customers. But coming back to the initial point, when we have ever issues, then we address them directly with the customers. We call them in, and we have in the meantime, due to the training that I just mentioned, but also to our information process with Germany, all the necessary spare parts there, everything is basically called for, and we are able to resolve the issue on very, very short notice.
Still on consumer experience, some Korean car manufacturers and Japanese car manufacturers offer 5-year warranty periods. We don't see these kind of things coming from Mercedes-Benz. Any thoughts on that?
The question is always, do you need to do this because you can want to convince your customer for a specific additional sales proposition or something like this? We have in the meantime, since I joined in 2011, we have moved our warranty up from 3 years to 4 years, which to us, because it affects all the vehicles equally, we don't make a difference between different types or something like that. But with the 4 years warranty, our customers are very, very happy. That's the feedback that we get from them. And unless we have to really, we would have to add something to that, we wouldn't do that, frankly speaking, because it's, again, a cost-driving factor that we some way or the other would pass on to the customer. And that is something that we don't want to do at the moment.
Finally, on the topic of technology and consumer experience, the three German car manufacturers, Audi, BMW and Mercedes-Benz, recently jointly acquired the Nokia's HERE mapping business for about $3 billion. Can we expect that kind of technology, you know, be experienced here in Mercedes-Benz Malaysia?
Of course, we wouldn't go into such investments if we don't expect something tangible for us to come out of this in positive. I think the challenges that everybody has at the moment, and you just need to look at the growth, the explosive growth that you see in Southeast Asia in cities, is that mapping is the challenge of the future. Because customers become ever more savvy, the customers become ever more critical at the same time. The cities are changing faster than you can basically turn around, and that means we have to become better. So technology that supports, in a sense of better service, exactly those needs of customers is going to be a deciding factor also in the future. We're struggling very much at the moment. All manufacturers do that to keep basically our maps updated.
Now, of course, you know, Audi and BMW are your friendly competitors. To see the three of you working together in this respect, does it bring about the more cohesiveness in terms of getting things done for the automotive industry?
The need for corporations, and you will see corporations starting from engines to seat systems, two entertainment systems is basically the result of the need to bring costs down. And whenever we see a similar need to make our customers more happy, then we just have to distinguish for ourselves how much do we think we need to share that with somebody else. Normally, we try to avoid that because you want to differentiate yourself from your competitors, especially in such a competitive field as the luxury segment. But I think what we will see is that the background, the software, that will be more commonly developed, and that is definitely a benefit for the European luxury brands.
What can we expect for 2015 from MBM?
You can expect some of the best results that we've ever seen as a company, which is for us especially intriguing because the overall economy doesn't do so well, but we've been basically running from success month to success month, and we have outsold our own results from last year by such a significant amount that we are very, very positively looking forward into the rest of 2015 with some more models to come. And then basically we will continue right away with that into 2016. So the future looks very, very bright.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm speaking with Roland Volker, the president and CEO of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia. Roland, pleasure having you on the grill. I am Ibrahim Sani, and you are listening to BFM 89.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by Alliance Bank. Banking made personal. A total banking relationship that rewards you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.